live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Current Sports is coming to you live here in Studio S. Not the AM studio like we were in yesterday. And it feels good to be back in my usual chair here on the campus of Michigan State University on this Friday, or as I like to say, Friday, September 7th, 2018. You have made it. The weekend is just about here for those who work the usual 9 to 5. Feel sorry for those who do work the weekends, but hey, the grind is real, right? Got to pay those bills. Dollar bill, y'all. And you know what? Tomorrow, just make sure, Spartan fans, that you are well rested, okay? If you don't work the weekend, you may want to sleep in tomorrow, seeing as though it will be a late kickoff time for those who are not attending the Michigan State and Arizona State game. It will be a 10:45 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff here in the Midwest. Those who are traveling, and I actually know a few Spartan fans out there who are making the trip and have made the trip to Arizona to watch that game in person, to take it all in. I'm told by a few that the Arizona-Michigan State alumni base have really set it out. You got the alumni band out there performing. Local bars out there who are, those bars actually owned by Spartan alum, are just alive and popping. A few concerts. It's just a great time. Out in Arizona, it's going to be around 105 degrees. 105 degrees. That's what it's slated to be come kickoff tomorrow. Again, it's Arizona, so what do you expect, right? I mean, it's scorching hot there. At the same time, though, I will take dry heat over humidity. The humidity that we experience here in Michigan during the summer months and the humidity that we experience down in the south, I'll take that. I'll take dry heat over humidity anytime. But it's still going to be hot, and hydration will be certainly one of the premier points of emphasis for both teams as they get that matchup underway. We will be talking about Arizona State and Michigan State. Right now, the Spartans are a 5.5-point favorite. A few hours ago, it was at 6.5, so the line has moved just a bit and has moved throughout the week. But Michigan State is your favorite for that matchup. Many Spartan fans out there are a bit wary, again, based on what happened on Friday night last week against Utah State under the lights. Only a 7-point win, 38-31, giving up 31 points that Spartan defense did. Arizona State making it look easy against UTSA. I don't know how much you can draw from a matchup against Texas San Antonio, but hey, at the end of the day, I do believe this will be a close one. I want to get your thoughts and predictions on this matchup. And hey, if you happen to be listening out on the West Coast, or if you are traveling, haven't made it there yet, if you are traveling to that game, you got tickets, or if you just are going to be there taking in the atmosphere, I want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We will also be discussing the state of the University of Michigan football team as Western Michigan comes to A-squared, the Big House home opener for the Wolverines, after the Wolverines, of course, are still licking their wounds after what happened on Saturday night last week on the road at Notre Dame. I think the Wolverines will get back on track. Many of you think they will, going against a Broncos team that isn't that great. P.J. Fleck isn't there anymore. The Wolverines are favored in this matchup. The perfect rebound game for the Wolverines. So we'll talk about that a bit as well. And we will chat about the season opener, the regular season opener of the National Football League last night as the Philadelphia Eagles unveiled that 2017 Super Bowl championship banner. There was a weather delay for a moment, but they did get that matchup underway as the Eagles played host to Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. It was an ugly game. Let's be real. Just like the weather was out there, it was an ugly game yesterday. The Falcons, I think, may have some trouble scoring. Yeah, we'll recap that game. I have a few takeaways from that matchup as well, and we will have Reflection Friday for you as we will reflect on the busy, very busy week that it has been here on WKAR's Current Sports. We have talked about numerous topics, probably the biggest one being this whole Nike and Colin Kaepernick situation, but we've sprinkled in a lot of college football chatter as well. And how about the local story of Mario Mbemba, MSU alum, and Rod Allen? I mean, broadcast partners in the booth for the Detroit Tigers on Fox Sports Detroit for a long time, since the early 2000s, getting into a physical altercation. Reports dropping after we got off the air yesterday when we brought that story to you all. You know, a little after 2 o'clock, it was released by multiple sources out there that Rod Allen allegedly had Mario Mbemba in a chokehold. I'll sound off on that for Reflection Friday as well. So we'll chat about all of that. Our plate runneth over here on this Friday edition of Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream up and running there. Comment below that video to weigh in. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, and tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. Right, in Michigan State, as I just noted, will head out to Arizona to take on the Arizona State Sun Devils tomorrow at 10:45 Eastern Time on ESPN. And this game will have the Spartans playing in perhaps their hottest road game ever. Again, temperatures expected to be at least 100 degrees at kickoff. Despite all of this, the Spartans are still 5.5-point favorites to win. This will be a close game. Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan college football squad will look to bounce back after a poor showing in week one against Notre Dame. The Wolverines will now take on the Western Michigan Broncos, who come to Ann Arbor with also a 0-1 record after losing to Syracuse last week. The game will kick off at noon for the Wolverines tomorrow, and you can catch that one on Fox Sports 1. All right, and Michigan State is planning a significant upgrade to the program's football offices at the Duffy Doherty Building on campus, according to plans unveiled this week by the school's Infrastructure Planning and Facilities Department. Now, the upgrade will add a conference room, meeting rooms, and all-staff workroom, plus renovate existing office space. The project will also update the Demmer Family Hall of History, located in the lobby of the building, adding video screens. The cost is projected to be between $5.5 and $8 million. Dollar bill, y'all. And come from athletic fundraising or debt to be repaid through athletic fundraising. All right, former football and baseball coach Bob Myers is a part of a group that will be inducted into the Lansing High School, Lansing Sexton High School Athletic Hall of Fame next week. Myers, who wrapped up his football coaching career in 2001 as the winningest coach in program history, is one of eight individuals and two teams that Sexton will induct into its Hall of Fame ceremony September 14th prior to its football game against Eaton Rapids. Sam Hopkins, an All-State wrestler in 1961 and 1960, also 1960 state mile champ Mac Pohl, 1984 state cross-country champion Jennifer Wilcox, All-State baseball player Rodney Benson, 1974 state champion diver Jesse Griffin, and 400-meter champion Pennison Adolph Burton are the individuals that will be inducted. And when it comes to the teams, the 1964 boys basketball team led by Coach Clayton Kowalk and the 1984 boys basketball squad led by Doug Herner is also a part of Lansing Sexton High School's class. So again, that ceremony will take place on September 14th prior to the Sexton and Eaton Rapids High School football game. All right, with All-Stars Vidal Brujan and Moises Gomez leading the way, the Bowling Green Hot Rods held off the Lansing Lugnuts 4-3, finishing a two-game sweep in the best-of-three Eastern Division semifinals on last night at Bowling Green Ballpark. Now, it was the first series victory in the Hot Rods franchise history, accomplished with the same score in back-to-back games, a grueling 4-3 10-inning victory on Wednesday night in Lansing, an eight-hour drive through the early hours of the morning, and a dramatic near comeback by the Lansing Lugnuts in Bowling Green. Bowling Green now advances to face West Michigan, the Whitecaps, in the Eastern Division Finals for the chance to play for the 2018 Midwest League Championship. So, again, that means that the 2018 campaign for the Lansing Lugnuts has unfortunately come to an end, but a great season by the Luggies. Great stuff there. All right, the Detroit Tigers are nearing the end of their season with mathematically no shot of making it to the playoffs. They begin their series with the St. Louis Cardinals tonight, 7:10 p.m. at Comerica Park. They are holding on to a 57-83 record, which is a similar record at this point in the season last year with a 64-98 record. They stay at third in the American League Central and are not moving anywhere soon. So there you have that. And when it comes to the Detroit Tigers, well, we all know the story about the two broadcasters getting into a scuffle, allegedly, between Mario Mpemba and Rod Allen, the contentious personal relationship between Fox Sports Detroit's two top Tigers broadcasters in Mpemba and Allen has, again, boiled over. The pair has reportedly been involved in a physical altercation, as we reported yesterday, immediately following Tuesday night's game against the Chicago White Sox. A later report from WDIV, Local 4, in Detroit, said that Allen choked Mpemba from behind following a disagreement over a chair in the booth, citing unnamed sources. Now, Rod Allen has broken his silence on Twitter, and he actually tweeted out that, look, again, I'm paraphrasing here, basically saying, look, I uphold my professionalism, and I can't speak on this right now, but I will later on. All right. He can't speak on this right now because there are possible legal implications here. But Rod Allen has broken his silence, at least. Mpemba and his people have been reached out to. They couldn't be reached for comment. They have not commented on this whole story. So it's interesting on many levels because this made national news, as you can imagine. I mean, two professional baseball broadcasters who have been on the air for a while and I think relatively do a solid job getting into a scuffle. That's not news you hear about every single day. All right, Friday night high school football lineup. Just a few of tonight's Friday night games. Ionia will be at Charlotte, Shepherd at Alma, Williamston at Fowlerville, Mason at Hazlitt, Traverse City West at Holt, Eaton Rapids at Lansing Catholic, Lansing Sexton at Portland, Lansing Everett at Waverly, Stockbridge at Olivet, Okemos at DeWitt. And Connor Cook has now landed elsewhere, seeing as though he was cut by the Oakland Raiders not too long ago. The Carolina Panthers have signed former MSU quarterback great Connor Cook to the practice squad after cutting rookie defensive tackle Kendrick Norton, who was a seventh-round pick. Now, Cook was drafted in the fourth round by the Raiders in 2016. He got his first regular season game action as a rookie in the regular season finale, entering the game with Oakland's top two quarterbacks injured. Cook then made his first career start the next week in the AFC wild card against the Texans, completing 18 of 45 passes for 161 yards and one TD. Three interceptions in that loss. Also, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons got it on last night to open up the NFL's 99th season. I wonder what the NFL was going to do when it hits season number 100 come next year, right? That's special. 100th season of the NFL. I can't believe that we're at number 99 right now. But the 99th season got underway as the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles welcome Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons.
We got double coverage again. Ryan for Jones, and no. Couldn't stay in. Darby with the coverage, and that is the way opening night ends.
So again, Ronald Darby coming up with the big, big play to end things, to end the hopes of a possible win or comeback for Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Great defense on Julio Jones. Ronald Darby, the pride of Florida State University. Interesting game last night. The final in that one, a sloppy, sloppy, penalty-heavy game. 18-12 in favor of the Eagles. Julio Jones was the lead wide receiver for the Falcons. He had 10 catches for 169 yards. The leading running back in that game, Philadelphia Eagles' own Jay Ajayi, who got me a ton of fantasy football points last night. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. Connor, you too. Connor's giving me the thumbs up behind the glass. Connor Mathis, current sports engineer for today. He also, I guess, has Jay Ajayi on his fantasy football team. Oh, also, Alec Reed. Hold on. Are you kidding me, guys? Open up your mic, Connor. All three of us have Jay Ajayi on our fantasy football squads. Connor?
Yeah, great minds think alike. I also had Julio Jones. I also had Julio Jones on one of my teams, so I had them both. I was living it up.
That's great stuff, man. What about you, Alex? So you have, don't tell me you have Jay as well. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? All three of us have Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I have Jay Ajayi, Nelson Agholor, and Tevin Coleman. So I had a pretty good outing last night. I can't complain. Yeah.
How many points did Nelson Agholor get? Because I had Nelson in another league. I don't know. I didn't check that league.
I'm in a PPR, and Nelson Agholor got, I think, 11.3 points for me.
That's not bad.
So that's above average. Yeah, I'll take that.
That's decent. You'll take that. All right. Yeah. When it comes to the two QBs in this game, Matt Ryan, 21 of 43, 251 yards, one INT. Nick Foles, former MSU football quarterback, 19 of 34, 117 yards, one INT. One reception, right? The Philly special. We'll play that for you later on this hour. They brought the Philly special back out of the playbook, and I had no idea. They unveiled a statue of that moment outside of the stadium. Very cool stuff. They showed that on the broadcast with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on NBC last night. One reception, 15 yards. Nick Foles caught a touchdown. How about that? Again. Now, again, this was a sloppy game. 26 penalties, grand total of 236 yards. That's ugly. And when it comes to the red zone woes of the Falcons, they are certainly real, folks. Cool news here, though. As you know, the Detroit Lions will open up the season playing host at Ford Field to the New York Jets. And Eminem, one of the greatest rappers of all time. Eminem will join the Lions coin toss ceremony as an honorary captain when they kick off the season on Monday Night Football. The Lions made that announcement on Twitter last night saying, quote, joining the Lions captains for the coin toss is legendary Detroit native and Grammy award-winning rapper Eminem, who just dropped the bombshell on the hip-hop community earlier this week with his fantastic piece of work entitled Kamikaze. Eminem getting back to his roots, dissing a few rappers here and there. That's what hip-hop is all about. I love it, Em. Em was being way too politically correct, I should say, in his other albums. All right? Revival was trash. Yeah, I said it. It was garbage. And that's coming from a Detroit native, and I love Eminem, one of my favorite rappers of all time. I think he, at the end of the day, will be on the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop artists. But thank you for Kamikaze, M. You're getting back to your roots. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch there the live stream. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
McKinley went off the field. Derek Shelby comes in his stead. And now you got a little razzle dazzle. And Aguilar's going to throw the ball to Foles. Play of the night.
Ah, that was a cool moment, I must say, as the Philadelphia Eagles took a page, the same page, out of last year's playbook. The Philly special. Nick Foles with the fake handoff, then the end around, and then Foles runs off to the side to catch a touchdown pass. Well, it wasn't a touchdown pass, was it? Just for a first down, wasn't it, Connor? Yeah, not it wasn't a TD pass.
Yeah, just a first down.
Still very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. But Nick did have a catch in that game other than that, right? Was that his only catch? That was just one. Okay, I'm just kind of replaying last year. Because, again, forgive me, folks, because that game was so boring last night. Was that game boring or was it just me, Connor?
I would say it was the first half. You could definitely tell it was sloppy. You could tell
so
it was the teams looked like you could really tell that it was on a delay. I think part of it was the Philadelphia defense looked great, but everyone else was just kind of in slow motion, kind of asleep, and really
the
it
offense.
Didn't. Yeah, it just
both
really
offenses
yeah,
were horrible.
It didn't pop off until third quarter.
That's why some people, you know, those who are really really diehard football fans appreciate good defense. I get it. I'm a huge football fan, but I don't know. I'm a millennial. You know, you guys know that, and I can't get jiggy with the defensive art all the time. As a viewer, I like seeing high scoring games. I like seeing, you know, lightning offense, big passes down the field, big runs. I mean, who doesn't, right? You know, both defenses play great, and I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have a great defense. I mean, that play from Ronald Darby on Julio Jones to end the game, huge. But I say that while saying this. I was watching the game, but in the corner of my eye, I was watching the game because my primary attention was actually on my laptop. I think I'm becoming, like, obsessed with Madden now. I've been playing Madden 19 just about every day this week for at least an hour coming home from work. I kid you not. I think I'm getting addicted to it. I think video game addiction is a real thing. There was a story done by, I think it was like ABC News, about video game addiction being a real thing. Kids who just sit in front of the TV, and grown men too, not just kids. Grown men who just sit planted in front of the TV, zoned out, playing all of these video games, losing track of time, not bathing, not brushing their teeth. Just, it's real. I really believe that. Because for me, I find just myself, and again, I just can't wait to get back on the sticks whenever I'm away from it. Like, man, I'm looking forward to getting better on Madden. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm so competitive. And my homie Brandon just put me in this Madden league where there's like 29 of us, Connor, and we all have our team and we all manage our team. We can make trades and we play the regular season just like it's the NFL regular season, right? And there's playoffs. It's insane. Actually, my phone is lighting up as we speak. A game is taking place right now between two teams. I think it's like the Jaguars and the Saints, and they're something called Twitch, and they're streaming that online as well. It's crazy. So I was watching the game, but I'm also watching some of the games that took place last night in my Madden 19 league, all right? So some of my attention was taken away. And then, you know, video games have become so big now, like e-games. E-games are a thing now. There's actual announcers on e-games broadcasting. Some of these games, they're like these fantasy-looking games. I don't even know what they're called, but it's becoming a legit stream of income for really good players. Do they have something like that for Fortnite? I know Fortnite's like the biggest game in the world right now. It's like, do they have like tournaments for Fortnite?
Tournaments, Fortnite, Overwatch, there's a whole bunch of games. Like the shooter games have been on it for a little bit longer, but like I know, a couple of years ago, ESPN, like in the middle of August when there was nothing, they had Madden tournaments on to supplement their not having football yet.
And there are so many, if you're good at these games, you can make a lot of money. ABC News also did, you know, in relation to that story, the story that they did, they also had a section of that story where, you know, they profiled at least three hardcore gamers who are making moolah, making bank after being good at like three different video games. It's insane. It's a legit business. And then I saw last night on Twitch, if you don't know what Twitch is, many people don't. I didn't know until like a few weeks ago, to be honest, because that's how, you know, I can watch these games in our Madden League. Twitch is basically a live streaming app for video gamers. So if somebody is playing a video game, you can actually watch them play that video game on an app called Twitch. But Twitch also has these different shows that air throughout the week, and they had a full show. It looked like ESPN on this show last night, Connor. They had analysts up there, and they had like a countdown in the corner. The new Spider-Man game dropped last night at midnight, and everybody is going goo-goo gaga over Spider-Man, and they were breaking down the game, and then they had live, once it dropped, they celebrated, and they had like these live streaming gamers out there who had just popped the game in. My homie Will, who lives in the Shy, he's a big gamer. He was playing that thing last night, and well, he didn't play. He game shares with somebody that we know, my homie Fonz, and Fonz got it, and he's just watching Fonz play Spider-Man last night. It is crazy how big the industry has become now. But it's become like a legit way for a lot of people out there to make moolah. Can't hate it. That's 2018, folks. The world keeps on spinning, right? And things keep on changing. You either change with it or again, get left behind. So, but I say all that to say this. When it comes to that game last night, yeah, the defenses played great, Connor. But from what I saw, especially when it came to, you know, down to the red zone opportunities for the Atlanta Falcons, who were 1 for 5 in the red zone last night. From the 20 in, 1 for 5. They had 4 blown opportunities in the red zone. And you saw what the Eagles did on that final drive for the Falcons, who really could have made that thing even more interesting last night. Again, it was a close game. And, you know, the Falcons were able to squeak by. Oh, excuse me. The Eagles were able to squeak by against the Falcons, 18-12 there. But the Falcons had a golden opportunity there to really make it interesting. Final drive of the game. They're in there in the red zone. We played the Ronald Darby defensive play where he tackles Julio Jones in the air. Julio catches the ball. But, again, you can tackle the receiver if he is airborne. And he goes out of bounds. Game over. A great play. But I don't know why Matt Ryan looked so indecisive last night. Like, Matt Ryan just, you know, he didn't look comfortable. You know, he would, you know, there were times he would look down the field and then kind of like second guess himself and then make a sporadic decision. He just did not look comfortable. He looked totally indecisive. And the Eagles, you know, Jim Schwartz, former Detroit Lions head football coach, you got to give Jim a lot of credit. What he's done with that Philadelphia Eagles defense is pretty impressive. I also had the Philadelphia Eagles defense. I have the Eagles defense on my fantasy football team. Not that you guys care. Fantasy football, right? You just care about your team, I know. But I'm just saying, Philadelphia Eagles defense was big last night. And what they did was, it was very simple. They double team Julio Jones, force Matt Ryan to try and find someone else, and Matt just looked, it's like, okay, you took away Julio Jones, I don't know what to do. You know, he went to Freeman a few times, but he just looked confused in that game. So I think it was a combination of, yeah, that Eagles defense is solid, but that Atlanta Falcons offense, once they get into the red zone, it's just like they become very, very confused, Connor, very confused. So just takeaways from that game.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the Falcons of the red zone. I found this stat this morning that Matt Ryan is 1-for-20 targeting Julio Jones in the end zone the last two seasons. That's including playoffs. And, you know, I don't know if it's so much play calling, if it's just Matt Ryan just being indecisive. I will say, in a little bit of a defense of Matt Ryan, there were some plays that was just, I couldn't explain, but a lot of times that Eagles pass rush had a guy in his face, or if they didn't hit him, he was getting a little roughed up at the end of the play. But I mean, he looked bad. There was one player I was sitting there while I was watching with my roommate. It was the interception, I believe, earlier in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. Where they were also in the red zone. He threw a pick, and I told my roommate, that looks like what happens in Madden when you go, oh crap, I hit the wrong button. Like it was bad.
Yeah,
Julio looked like what? Where is this ball going? I mean,
yeah.
He looked just rattled from the get-go, and I mean, there were a couple times where Julio had a favorable matchup, and Matt either didn't see it or misread it. I mean, I don't know.
And then you throw on top of all that, again, the 26 penalties for over 200 yards, 236 to be exact. I think that this is what you're going to see, I think, in week one at least, because the referees are still getting used to the rule changes. I think they're still getting used to, of course, the helmet rule as well. Which, by the way, I think the helmet rule is going to change the game a lot. I really believe that, Connor. I think we saw a few times there were some passes thrown, you know, down the middle of the field, and I saw a few times those defensive backs kind of lay up and make sure that they weren't coming across and smacking that receiver, which is good. Making the game safer without a doubt. But in knowing that, I think that the quarterbacks are also making an adjustment in a way. I saw a lot of screen passes in that game last night. I didn't see too many bombs thrown down the field last night. Now, I don't know why. I just think that the game is changing. Maybe there is more of an emphasis on health in the back of the minds and the subconscious. And again, small sample size. We'll see what happens really on Sunday, right? But, you know, maybe it is in the subconscious of the quarterbacks out there, of wide receivers out there not wanting to run those routes and risk any kind of injury. But it was just a different, that was an odd game last night. I'll just say that. It was a very odd game. And the referees are also in early season form, at least from what we've seen throughout the preseason and now bleeding into the season opener between the Eagles and the Falcons. All right, enough NFL. I want to hit this first break, come back, and we are going to dive into tomorrow night's game on the West Coast between your Michigan State Spartans and the Arizona State Sun Devils. These two teams have not played each other since 1986. It's a long time, right? I think like Crush Groovin' had just come out. Michael Jackson was at the top of the charts. Michael and Prince, I should say, as well. Yeah. Well, that's a long time, folks. So we'll dive into that game. We'll also talk some Western Michigan University and U of M. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Shout out to our team behind the glass, Connor Mathis and Alec Rio. You guys are on that, right? I talk about Eminem being a part of the coin toss, and boom, you have one of his all-time hits, instrumental version, playing in the background. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Happy Friday to all of our current sports listeners out there. I know many of you are getting ready for the battle on the West Coast between the Michigan State Spartans and the Arizona State Sun Devils. Again, a 10:45 p.m. kickoff. I'm guessing that game will probably end somewhere around 1 a.m. That's my guess. Should be a bit different. For those who are partying on Saturday night, bleeding into your Sunday morning, please do it safely. MSU, right now, looking at the line, the line has actually shifted from 6 to 5.5 now for Michigan State. Also, I want to read the injury report because I think the injury report is a bit interesting for Michigan State right now. As we all know, corner Josiah Scott is out. They'll get him later on this year. Defensive end Dylan Alexander, right leg injury. He's out. Corner Tyson Smith has an illness. Questionable. These are the players who are listed as questionable. Left tackle Coach Ewens, who did not play in game one, as we all know. He has an injury. Defensive end Jacob Panishuk is questionable, dealing with a left arm situation. Defensive tackle Gerald Owens, undisclosed injury. Defensive end Mufi Hill Hunt, dealing with a knee injury. Tight end Noah Davis, undisclosed injury. Tight end Trenton Gillison, undisclosed injury. Linebacker Ed Warner, undisclosed injury. Linebacker Chase Klein, undisclosed injury. Offensive lineman James Ohumba, undisclosed injury. Offensive lineman Dimitri Douglas, undisclosed injury. Running back Alante Thomas, undisclosed injury. Fullback Reed Burton, undisclosed injury. And listed as probable is wide receiver Felton Davis III. One of the bigger names, maybe the biggest name out of that list, who is listed as having a left shoulder injury. So I think, again, he's probable. Felton Davis is probable. Probable means, yeah, probably he'll play. He'll probably play. I think Felton Davis will get out there. This is a big game against Arizona State. Could really set a nice tone for the Spartans moving forward as they inch closer to conference play after week two. And, you know, Felton did take a hit. We did see him take a hit against Utah State, and it looked to be like a head injury, if you ask me. You know, he kind of just got up dazed and walked off the sideline, and then next thing you know, he's back out there. So left shoulder injury, a bit puzzling. But, again, Mark D'Antonio does not talk about injuries. So there's the injury report for the Spartans. When it comes to Arizona State, they've got a few people out. Defensive back Joey Bryant with a knee injury. Defensive back Tyler Wiley, foot. Running back Traylon Smith has been suspended. Offensive lineman Stephen Miller dealing with a personal issue. Offensive lineman Zach Robertson, unspecified injury. And listed as probable is defensive back Evan Fields, who is dealing with a hammy. And tight end J.J. Wilson, who is coming off a suspension. So, Michigan State squeaks by Utah State. Favorite by 23.5 points. You guys know the story. They win by just a touchdown. Arizona State made it look easy peasy on their week one matchup against Texas San Antonio, UTSA. Just a complete blowout in that matchup as Herm Edwards, who has a lot of fanfare surrounded around him, seeing as though, I mean, the dude is an interesting cat. You know, I mean, he had some success as a coach in the NFL, former college coach as well. But a lot of folks have, you know, at least the mainstream casual, I should say, sports fan has really gotten to know Herm Edwards on a personal level, seeing as though he really let that personality shine as a football analyst and personality for ESPN. But he's back in the coaching ranks now. He has not coached college football since 1990. His last coaching assignment, well, that was back in 2008 in the NFL when he coached the Kansas City Chiefs. He hasn't coached in a while, and the point that I made on yesterday's show is that it's hard. It's got to be hard for Mark D'Antonio when you're playing a coach who has not coached in 10 years, right? Not much on film. I don't know how much you can draw and pull from that Texas-San Antonio matchup. His defensive coordinator was at San Diego State, Danny Gonzalez. So they've been watching some San Diego State film, but I don't know how much you can draw from that. Mark D'Antonio also stated that he's gone back and watched the spring game even. So trying to prepare for a coach that you don't have much film on, it's tough. It really is. So we'll see what happens here. Now, what Michigan State needs to do in this game is to, you know, when it comes to the offense, you know, Brian Lewerke can't make the glaring turnover that happened last week, the pick six that occurred last week. That can't happen against Arizona State. I think this is a solid team. If you make mistakes and you turn the ball over like that, you are going to put yourself in a very tough position to win the ball game. I am expecting LJ Scott to break out in this game. Many, including myself, were not impressed with what he did on Friday night last week. You know, he had a long run of 14 yards. His net total was 84. 23 carries, again, 84 yards. Connor Hayward was the name that impressed most Spartan fans out there. Connor Hayward came in the game and had some nice plays, including his long run of 17 yards. Touched the ball five times for a net gain of 42 yards on the ground. But he was an instant spark plug, and you saw Connor break some tackles. He showed a bit of quickness. A lot of people were impressed with Connor. LJ, I'm sure, heard that chatter, and he wants to come out and put that conversation to bed that he is indeed the number one running back for the Michigan State football team. The wide receiver core is going to do what they do. Brian Lewerke has an embarrassment of riches when it comes to his wide receivers. All right, I mean, Daryl Stewart, very impressive what he was able to do last week. I mean, he had a quiet seven catches for 55 yards. And I say quiet because he didn't score a touchdown, but he was efficient. He is very reliable, a very reliable target for Brian Lewerke. Cody White caught a touchdown pass. He had five catches for 70 yards. And as I mentioned, Felton Davis, who is listed as probable on that injury report. Felton Davis was remarkable. He had 69 yards, one TD catch. One TD catch and three receptions. And then, of course, you look at that one catch he had on the left sideline where, you know, Brian Lewerke just tosses it up on the left sideline. Somehow, some way, Felton Davis is able to get his paws on it. Arguably a game-saving play there. You know, the one end zone catch he had, you know, on the left side, he has to shed off a defender. Somehow, some way at the last second, he's able to, you know, to move that defender to the side and catch that football. Just amazing. He is an amazing talent. Not worried about that. Worried about that offensive line. We've been highlighting that throughout the week. And that secondary to make some shutdown plays when it comes to Manny Wilkins, quarterback of Arizona State, who is solid. I think Manny Wilkins is a solid quarterback. You play two solid quarterbacks to start your season. I think Jordan Love is going to have a great season for Utah State. He's no slouch either. Manny Wilkins can throw the football, and that secondary will be tested again, I think. It is up to that secondary to make some shutdown plays. Looking forward to that. I think Justin Lane got kind of picked on last week. Justin Lane has to step up. That secondary has to step up. Joe Bocci, Kenny Willekes. I haven't given Joe Bocci and Kenny Willekes their just due in that game. I thought that they were remarkable. Kari Willis as well. Kari Willis, he's dynamite, isn't he? And you see his leadership out there. I mean, Connor, we noticed up in the press, but it was either, I forget who was up there with me. It was either Alec or yourself. But yeah, we noticed Kari Willis like going off on his teammates when they were, you know, when Utah State dumping down those small screen passes and really frustrating that Michigan State defense. There was a moment where Kari Willis just kind of lost it and chewed into his guys on the field. Was that you up there with me, Kyle?
Yeah.
You saw that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we're seeing why Kari Willis, who is so cool, calm, and collected, to steal a line from the great Stuart Scott, Kari Willis, for the most part, when we talk to him in post-game press conferences, he is cooler than the other side of the pillow, dude. A joy to talk to, a bona fide leader. But, man, don't get that cat angry. You know what I mean? It's the silent ones you got to worry about. And you saw that leadership from Kari Willis against Utah State in full effect. Kari Willis had, you know, had one pick. Joe Bocci did as well. And I thought that Kenny Willick has played a good game in that game as well. He had his moments. Joe had a great start, kind of disappeared, and then at the end of the game made some big stops. Kenny Willick was a force to be reckoned with and gave Jordan Love some problems in that backfield. And Kari Willis swarmed all over the field. But other than that, that secondary has to be solid. So They can't turn the ball over. I'm looking for more from L.J. Scott. I think the wide receiver core are going to have a good game, and Brian Lewerke is going to have a great game against Arizona State. But this one will be close. This is going to be a close game. I could see Michigan State squeaking out this game. I don't know if they're going to cover the spread. I think this will be like a three-point win for the Spartans. I really think it's going to be that tight. Connor?
You know, I think it's going to be a close game too. I think the only problem I see for Michigan State that really worries me is that interior O-line. That kind of makes me a bit nervous. Overall though, the offense, other than that, I'm not too concerned with. I think they'll come out a little bit more balanced offense than we saw in game one. They kind of mentioned in the press conferences after Utah State that they didn't expect to use as much as the playbook as they did. From the offensive standpoint, that doesn't really worry me too much. I think they might have like a slow start just because of getting adjusted to that heat. That's another concern for me. But I think it'll be a close game throughout. I think they'll win by a touchdown, honestly. I think that defense, when it matters the most, they'll step up. So that's my two cents on it.
Okay, Alec, from what you saw on Saturday, Connor thinks by a touchdown. I think by a field goal. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be a one-possession game without a doubt. I know for a fact that MSU has thrived on having that chip on their shoulder, especially when it comes to like having injuries and pulling through with those victories. Mm-hmm. We have like a lot of injuries with our team right now, and I'm really, really hoping that Felton Davis isn't one of them. But I feel like even if he doesn't show up, we do have a good wide receiving core, and I really do think that our offense will get the job done, and our defense led by Joe Bocci and Willis, I think we're going to do a great job of that. But, I'm excited for what pans out. I think it's going to be a really close game, and we're going to squeak out a win. But, yeah.
A few interesting stats I want to know. When it comes to covering the spread, Michigan State is just 2-7 in its last 9 road games. 2-7 when covering the spread. Now that stat is pretty alarming. Also want to say that Brian Lewerke is from Phoenix. He's used to that heat. He's going to have a lot of family in the building for that game. I'm actually very curious to see how many green and white jerseys we see in the stadium, in the stands for that matchup. Also, Michigan State has played just 3 games at a Pac-12 school since 1998, losing all 3. We'll see what happens here. I mean, that's history again. These two teams haven't matched up, though, dating back to 1986. And again, Arizona State is coming off a 49-7 rout of the Roadrunners of the University of Texas at San Antonio. And, you know, you look at Herm Edwards here. You know, ASU's 49 points scored last week in Edwards' debut marked the most points versus an FBS opponent in debut seasons in program history, topping the previous mark. You talk about Spartan and ASU ties, topping the previous mark that stood since 1958, held by former Spartan All-American Frank Cush in his Sun Devil head coaching debut when his ASU squad hung 47 points on Hawaii. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting game because, you know, you talk about those ties that, you know, MSU and an ASU share. Well, Daryl Rogers, another former coach of both the Spartans and Arizona State, he is going to be honored at that game. The late Daryl Rogers, who sadly passed away not too long ago. So, but again, it's tough to prepare for a team that, you don't have much film on. Herm Edwards, you know, and also Michigan State is the first Big Ten team to face Arizona State since Wisconsin did in 2013. The Sun Devils are 20-13 all time against Big Ten foes, playing everyone except Indiana and Maryland. MSU's 1-1 record against ASU is one of the Sun Devils' 4 Big Ten teams that Arizona State is 500 or below against, joining Nebraska at 2-6, Ohio State at 0-2, have not beaten Ohio State, and Penn State at 0-1. And again, I'm just throwing out numbers here, just to kind of put in perspective just how dominant that win was for Arizona State. Again, it's UTSA, but I'm just saying. The Sun Devil offense finished with 10 rushing plays, going 10-plus yards. That was led by a 34-yard Eno Benjamin rush in the first quarter. Arizona State amassed over 500 yards of total offense, 266 yards rushing, 247 yards passing on 16 of 24 for Manny Wilkins. In addition to holding the Roadrunners to just 2 yards rushing for UTSA. So, LJ Scott has to be chomping at the bit to kind of test that stat from last week. Just 2 yards is what UTSA was able to have on the ground. Does that concern you at all, Connor?
Not too much. Again, it's UTSA. I'm not too discouraged by that. I think if Michigan State gets a little bit more creative with some of the play calling, I don't think they'll have real big hangups. I think the other thing important I didn't mention before, but I think State fans will feel better coming out of this game than they did against Utah State, because even if it is a close game, Arizona State's a little bit more, a little bit more kind of a recognizable name, and they're a little bit more, I think, in the minds of fans, a little bit more respected program than Utah State is. So,
yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't be overly concerned with if Arizona State stifled UTSA, because they're not really on the radar of like top teams in the country. So.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, real quick here, before we throw to Reflection Friday, does Michigan football bounce back against Western Michigan University? That's the question here, right? Western Michigan, having this whole conversation about UTSA, not one of the elite programs in the nation, right? Michigan did play one of the elite programs in the nation against Notre Dame last Saturday, lost. That game teetered on a blowout. Thank goodness. They had the 99 run back from Ambry Thomas, who put the Wolverines back in contention in that game, but it could have been a blowout. They did have an opportunity to try and pull off some magic, but Wilton Spade. I'm stuck on last season for the Wolverines. Shea Patterson ended up fumbling the football, put the babies to bed, Wolverines lose. They play a Western Michigan football team that is 0-1 after losing to Syracuse. And right now the line is very heavily in favor of the Wolverines. The Wolverines are a 28-point favorite in this game. And again, I already predicted what's going to happen in this game, all right? The Wolverines, they lose to Notre Dame on Saturday night, right? Michigan fans are upset. They're teed off. Jim Harbaugh can't win against the big teams. But the Wolverines are going to blow out Western this weekend, Connor. And then you're going to have Wolverines fans come out and say, look, see that? Notre Dame's a good team. It happens. Look what we did against Western. Our offense looked great. Our defense looked great. Back to the top-tier defense that we saw last season. All is going to be well in the delusional mindset that is the Michigan Wolverines college football fan base after Saturday's matchup against the Broncos. I kid you not. No matter, even if it is against the Western Michigan Broncos, Connor. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have Michigan fans saying, yeah, we're fine. Michigan's a good team. We were supposed to lose. We'll be back in this discussion of being an elite program and being in the college football playoff as the year rolls along. You think it's going to happen?
Absolutely.
That's how this thing is going to roll out, all right? With 5 minutes left, let's hit you with Reflection Friday, where we reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports. Hit you with a few stories that we may not have gotten a chance to cover and highlight a few moments that we did. Here we go. All right, I want to start with this whole Nike and Colin Kaepernick situation. We have been talking ad nauseum about this topic. Many who oppose Nike endorsing Colin Kaepernick, who started this whole kneeling during the national anthem protest in trying to raise awareness for inequality and police brutality here in America. Those who don't agree with Nike's decision to endorse Cap have decided to light their Nike apparel on fire, take scissors to the swoosh on their t-shirts and shorts. Just idiotic. It sparked some great conversation here on the show, and we had a few insightful callers. We had one caller call in who said that, look, man, I'm not going to buy any more Nike products. You know, I was just in the store the other day. I didn't even look at the swoosh. I just walked by the swoosh and said, I'm not buying you, swoosh. That's what he said on the air. We also had two other callers, Apachu and Jason, who weighed in. And, you know, Jason doesn't necessarily agree with the protest, but he's trying to sympathize with those who are in favor of Colin Kaepernick, like myself. And I think it's worth noting as well that Jason is a member of the United States Army as well. He's still active. And we also had a caller in Apache who said that, look, Nike's just doing this for money. Even though Nike stock did fall, they did lose $3.75 billion. Again, that's just a drop in the bucket for Nike, though. Their stock did fall as well after the announcement of Colin Kaepernick. But it's so ironic because I'm sitting there watching the NFL last night. And this is the thing about Nike. Nike is everywhere. They are. You can't avoid it. Michigan State Athletics endorsed by Nike. Numerous college teams endorsed by Nike. The NFL, all their uniforms, all NFL uniforms are Nike uniforms. And I'm pretty sure you had a lot of folks sitting back on your comfy couches getting ready for another NFL year, watching the Falcons and the Eagles. Some of you, many of you, not agreeing with Colin Kaepernick and Nike's endorsement of Cap, not even realizing that you are helping the product just by sitting there on your couch and watching the National Football League and watching the Eagles and the Falcons who donned the swoosh right there on their jersey. It's hypocritical on so many levels. You know, if you're going to boycott, go all out. Don't just kind of boycott and say, I'm not buying any Nike products anymore. That's neither here nor there. We had some colorful conversation on that. Also, this Mario Mpemba and Rod Allen beef. Oh, my goodness. That's the story of the week here locally. That's way more interesting than watching the old English D go out there and mail it in and disappoint you Detroit Tigers fans game in and game out. I'm probably just going to tune in tonight because I think that Mario and Rod are scheduled to broadcast, or at least one of them, throughout the weekend. But I'm just going to tune in just to see if Mario and Rod will be a part of the broadcast throughout this weekend. I could care less about what's going on with the Detroit Tigers this season. But those are my two favorite moments of the week. Gosh, I'm still not over that story. Connor, anything, man, favorite moment of the week at all?
I would say the Kaepernick discourse on Twitter has been phenomenal. It's ranged anywhere from people like burning things and cutting things off to other people just kind of messing around and making fun of those people.
Exactly. Very true. Alec, anything? If not,
my favorite moment's got to be the Rod Allen Mario Mpemba fight. I got the chance to meet Mario Mpemba at the Journalism Classic, and it was fun. He's a good guy.
Yeah, shocking story. All right, we'll see you Monday, folks, and be easy, people.